Why would the Sky Masters allow me to kill them if they didn't want you to live? There will be more monsters from Beta. And I will kill them too, Brad retorted, hoping his pistol had enough charge to do the job. Nx said to Derm, Don't you see, Derm? The Sky Masters have sent Bird to save us. And what do we do when the death time passes and the new folk arise from the fields? Brad said, We go beyond the hills that surround this village and build a new village for them. For several long moments, Derm stood frozen on the staircase, with the rain pouring down so hard that Brad could hardly make out his figure. The other gamins who had started down the steps with him had backed away slightly, leaving the village leader standing alone, drenched, looking forlorn. Brad asked, Is everyone here? Are there any of us missing? Lung answered from the head of the staircase, Girl and his hut mates. I was going to get them and bring them here when you appeared, Bird. Starting for the stairs, Brad said, Let's go get them. I'll go with you. Derm seemed to stiffen. Drawing himself up to his full height, he said, I will go with you. Grinning inside his helmet, Brad said, Good. And the three of them started down the stairs. Kossoff's voice grumbled in Brad's earphones. You're violating every ethical rule in the book. Switching to his suit's intercom mode so the gamins couldn't hear him, Brad replied, The alternative is to let them be killed, and I can't do that. Then he clicked back to the translating computer's channel, happy that Kossoff couldn't bother him again for almost 4 minutes. With Derm in the lead and Lung behind him, they sloshed through the floodwater on the ground level and stopped at the building's only door. It was wide open, and outside the rain was teeming down more heavily than ever. The wind was roaring like a wild beast. Mithra's glare and the eerie light from Beta were all but obliterated by the freshly growing clouds boiling across the sky. Brad could barely see across the village compound to the buildings on the other side. Which one is Girl's hut? He asked. Derm pointed. There. Like all the other buildings, the hut's door was wide open. Turning, Brad shouted up the stairs, Close the door behind us! Keep the monsters out! Derm started out into the rain, but Brad held him back. Wait. Look for cats first. And he hoped that the computer translated cats to a word the gamins could understand. He switched on the helmet's infrared night vision optics. The compound looked clear, although the wind was blowing so hard the twigs, brush, entire tree limbs were tumbling across the compound. Derm stepped out into the downpour as if he had no fear of monsters from Beta. This way, he said. Brad grinned inwardly. Derm's trying to recapture the leadership of his people. Well, he's welcome to it. Gripping his pistol, Brad stepped out beside Derm. Lung followed behind them. Starship Odysseus. It was mid-morning on the ship. Felicia was at her workstation in the biology lab, but she couldn't focus her thoughts on the analysis of the gamin microbes in the computer display before her. She turned off the display and headed out of the lab toward the cafeteria. The place was open 24/7, of course, but at this time of the morning only a handful of people were there. Most of the tables were empty, and the little serving robots were lined up in a neat row on the far side of the room. Felicia trudged to the only juice dispenser that appeared to be working. A young man was already there, filling a large mug to the brim. He was slim, wiry, not much taller than Felicia herself. His skin was dark, his hair midnight black and tightly curled, his eyes deep brown. Hi, he said as Felicia approached. You're not at work?
Neither are you, she said,
reaching for one of the plastic cups.
Snuck out for a caffeine break, he said.
Then he stuck out his free hand.
I'm Yusuf Hamibi, sensor tech.
Felicia McDaniels, biology.
You're Brad McDaniels' wife, aren't you?
She nodded.
That's right.
How's he doing down there?
Felicia wanted to answer, I wish I knew. Instead, she said,
All right, I guess.
You guess? You don't know?
With a sorrowful shake of her head, Felicia admitted,
No, I don't know.
What with the time lag and the storms on Gamma, it's not easy to stay in touch.
Oh, I see. Amibi gestured to the nearest table, empty and cold-looking in the glareless overhead lighting. Felicia went with him and they sat side by side. "I've only got a few minutes," Amibi said. "Got to get back to the monitoring center." Felicia nodded. With a wide grin, he asked, "So, do you come here often?" With a mock scowl, Felicia replied, "Is that supposed to be a pickup line?" His smile brightened, strong white teeth against his dark skin. "It's supposed to be a joke. I didn't know what else to say."
"I see."
Felicia allowed herself a thin smile. "So, what's happening on Gamma?"
"Terrible storms. Some sort of tiger-like animals are hunting down the Gammons and killing them."
His eyes widening, Amibi said, "Really? Wow. And McDaniels is in the middle of all that?"
"He certainly is," Felicia said.
Every nerve in her body seemed to be screaming, "Brad's out there alone. He could get killed. But he stayed there instead of coming back to me."
"Is he all right?" Amibi asked.
"He shot several of the big cats. He's trying to help the Gammons get through this."
"Inshallah," Amibi murmured.
Suddenly, Little John's voice called from across the nearly empty, echoing cafeteria.
"There you are!"
Felicia leaped to her feet, knocking over her juice glass.
"Is Brad?"
She couldn't finish the question.
"He's in one piece," Little John said cheerfully as he crossed the cafeteria and came to their table. "He's helping the Gammons to survive."
"He's all right?"
"As good as he can be, considering the conditions on Gamma right now."
Little John stopped at the table and eyed Amibi.
"I'm Dr. Little John, head of the anthropology team."
Looking suddenly embarrassed, Amibi said, "I'd better be getting back to the monitoring center." He picked up his mug and hurried off into the shadows. Little John turned back to Felicia. "I thought he might be bothering you."
"No,"
she said, surprised. "He was just being friendly." Little John nodded.
"Don't you think you should get back to your lab? It's too early for lunch."
I suppose so."
"You're worried about Brad?"
"Yes."
"He's fine, physically." Felicia's innards flared. "What do you mean?" Little John's expression turned almost sorrowful.
"He's taken it upon himself to try to save the Gammons from extinction."
"Extinction?"
"I don't know if your husband realizes it or not, but he's taken on the role of savior for those people. It could lead to all sorts of complications."
"Oh."
"Kossoff's furious with him."
"But he's all right. He's safe."
"So far."
Felicia stood there, feeling lost, helpless, unable to help the man she loved. "The man who's left me," she reminded herself. Little John slipped an arm around her shoulders.
"Come on. I'll walk you back to your lab."
And Felicia remembered that the anthropologist had deftly shooed away Greg Nyerere just yesterday.
"He's been watching me," she realized. "Is he trying to protect me for Brad's sake? Or..."
She shrugged his arm off her, then said,
"Thank you, Dr. Littlejohn. I can get back to my workplace by myself."
"You're sure?"
"Of course, quite sure."
Littlejohn smiled crookedly, then said,
"That's fine. I should get back to Kossoff before he pops a blood vessel."
They walked together as far as the cafeteria's door. Then Felicia turned toward the moving stairs that led down to the laboratories. Sacrifice. The rain was coming down harder than ever as Brad, Germ, and Lung sloshed across the compound to Girl's hut, staggering in the hard, gusting wind that raised white caps across the flooded hollow. The clouds were so thick that it was almost as dark as night across the village. Even with his night vision optics, Brad could barely see the building they were heading for.
"Could be a dozen big cats slinking around here," he told himself, "and I wouldn't spot them until they were nearly on top of us."
The water was getting deeper, up to his knees, making each step forward a real struggle. "At least it should slow down any cats that come after us," he thought. The two Gammons were straining too, bent almost halfway over as they pushed themselves through the rising floodwater. Brad almost laughed bitterly to himself as he thought, "They're not taller than I am now." Dern staggered and reached out an arm to Brad for support. Despite himself, Brad felt a shudder of revulsion flash through him. The alien's arm was a twisted mass of ropey, muscular tentacles. Alien, frightful.
Derm's arm coiled around Brad's shoulders, then withdrew as the gamin righted himself. Brad hoped Derm couldn't sense the irrational disgust he'd felt.
"Thank you," said Derm as he separated from Brad.
"You're welcome," Brad replied through gritted teeth.
"I don't see any monsters," Ling shouted over the pounding of the rain.
Trying to buck up his courage, Brad figured. Then Derm answered,
"Monsters are out there, lurking in the dark."
"Pleasant thought," Brad grumbled to himself.
"Look out!" Ling shouted.
A young tree was sailing through the air, branches fluttering, roots flailing. All three of them ducked low as it hurtled past. At last, they reached the hut they were heading for. Its door hung open, swinging in the wind and banging against the wall. Brad saw the hut's interior was pitch black, silent and still. He switched on his helmet's lamp, making Derm and Ling flinch with surprise. His IR goggles automatically swung away from his eyes. Inside the hut, half a dozen bodies were sloshing in the floodwater, mangled, chewed, dead. The water was dark with their nearly black blood.
"Too late," said Ling. "The monsters have been here."
"Where are they now?" Brad wondered. "All the other villagers are back in the longhouse. I told them to close their doors so the cats can't get in, but one of those beasts got up to the roof line, for God's sake. And there's nothing barring the window." Derm sank to his knees in the bloody water, clasped his hands together, and bowed his head. Brad's computer picked up a few of the words he was muttering. "Thanks, sacrifice, death time, sacrifice." A prayer for the dead, he realized. Giving thanks for their sacrifice. Brad turned back to the open door, still banging in the wind. "There's at least one cat out there, maybe more. I wonder if we'll be able to get back to the longhouse without being attacked." Derm got back to his feet, slowly, painfully, as though he'd aged 50 years in the past few minutes. "Let's go back," Brad said as he pulled his pistol from his belt. In the light from his helmet lamp, he saw that the charge was not even 1/10 depleted. "Good," he thought. "Come on." Felicia didn't return to her lab. Instead, she made her way to the monitoring center, halfway across the ship's interior and two levels up. "If Yusuf is on the monitoring crew, why did he have to ask me how Brad's doing?" she wondered. "Aren't they watching Brad?" As she walked the long, curving passageway, she used her wrist communicator to query MC. "MC, aren't the monitors watching Brad on Gamma?"
"Yes, they are," answered the master computer's avatar.
"Then why?" Suddenly, Felicia understood. "Yusuf was trying to strike up a conversation with me." She wondered if Little John had been right, and Hamibi was coming on to her. No, she decided. He was only being sociable, happy to have somebody to talk to. She stopped at the entrance to the monitoring center. "Admittance to authorized personnel only," said red glowing letters on its electronic signboard. Biting her lip in indecision, Felicia finally made up her mind to go home, back to her own room. "Little John is piping the imagery from Gamma to my quarters," she reminded herself. "I can watch Brad at home. Even if he doesn't want to be with me, I can be with him, sort of." As they waded across the village compound, fighting against the raging wind, Brad heard a prayer in his own mind. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." And suddenly, there was death, standing less than 50 meters in front of them in the pelting rain. A drenched monster from Beta glowered at them, its head lowered, its fangs bared. Another huge cat splashed through the floodwaters to stand beside the first, and a third joined them. Brad saw that their muzzles were dark with crusted gamin blood, despite the rain. "They can't be hungry," he thought, "not after gorging on the people in the hut."